44.
Sometimes they see boats in the distance. A couple of these even swing close by to check them out. But none of them seems to be in that rescuing mood. There are a few altruists in the vicinity of the raft, and it must be evident that they don't have much to steal. From time to time, they see an old deep-water fishing boat, 50 to 100 feet long, with half a dozen or so small, fast boats clustered around it. When Elliot informs them that these are pirate vessels, Vic and Fisheye prick up their ears. Vic unwraps his rifle from the collection of hefty bags that he uses to protect it from the salt spray, and detaches the bulky sight so that he can use it as a spyglass. Hero can't see any reason to pull the sight off the rifle in order to do this, other than the fact that if you don't, it looks like you're drawing a bead on whatever you're looking at. Whenever a pirate vessel comes into view, they all take turns looking at it through the sight, playing with all the different sensor modes, visible, infrared, and so on. Elliot has spent enough time knocking around the rim that he has become familiar with the colors of the different pirate groups. So by examining them through the sight, he can tell who they are. Clint Eastwood and his band parallel them for a few minutes one day, checking them out. And the Magnificent Seven send out one of their small boats to zoom by them and look for potential booty. Hero's almost hoping they get taken prisoner by the Seven, because they have the nicest-looking pirate ship. A former luxury yacht with exocet launch tubes clutched to the foredeck. But this reconnaissance leads nowhere. The pirates, unschooled in thermodynamics, do not grasp the implications of the eternal plume of steam coming from beneath the life raft. One morning, a big old trawler materializes very close to them, congealing out of nothing as the fog lifts. Hero has been hearing its engines for a while, but didn't realize how close it was.
"Who are they?"
Fisheye says, choking on a cup of the freeze-dried coffee he despises so much. He's wrapped up in a space blanket and partly snuggled underneath the boat's waterproof canopy, just his face and hands visible. Elliot scopes them out with the sight. He is not a real demonstrative guy, but it's clear that he is not very happy with what he sees.
"That is Bruce Lee," he says. "How is that significant?" Fisheye says.
"Well, check out the colors," Elliot says.
The ship is close enough that everyone can see the flag pretty clearly. It's a red banner with a silver fist in the middle, a pair of nunchucks crossed beneath it, the initials B and L on either side.
"What about them?" Fisheye says.
"Well, the guy who calls himself Bruce Lee, who's like the leader, he got a vest with those colors on the back."
"So?"
"So? It's not just embroidered or painted. It's actually done in scalps. Patchwork-like."
"Say what?" Hero says.
"There's a rumor, just a rumor, man, that he went through the refuse ships looking for people with red or silver hair so he can collect the scalps he needed."
Hero is still absorbing that when Fisheye makes an unexpected decision.
"I want to talk to this Bruce Lee character," he says. "He interests me."
"Why the hell do you want to talk to this fucking psycho?" Elliot says.
"Yeah," Hero says. "Didn't you see that series in I Spy? He's a maniac."
Fisheye throws up his hands as if to say that the answer is, like Catholic theology, beyond mortal comprehension.
"This is my decision," he says.
"Who the fuck are you?" Elliot says.
"President of the fucking boat," Fisheye says. "I hereby nominate myself. Is there a second?"
"Yep,"
Vic says, the first time he has spoken in 48 hours.
"All in favor say aye," Fisheye says.
"Aye,"
Vic says, bursting into florid eloquence.
"I win," Fisheye says. "So how do we get these Bruce Lee guys to come over here and talk to us?"
"Why should they want to?" Elliot says. "We got nothing they want except for poontang."
"Are you saying these guys are homos?"
Fisheye says, his face shriveling up.
"Shit, man," Elliot says. "You didn't even blink when I told you about the scalps."
"I knew I didn't like any of this boat shit," Fisheye says.
"If this makes any difference to you, they're not gay in the sense that we usually think of," Elliot explains. "They're het, but they're pots. They'll go after anything that's warm and concave.
Fisheye makes a snap decision.
Okay, you two guys, Hero and Elliot, you're Chinese. Take off your clothes.
What?
Do it. I'm president, remember? You want Vic to do it for you?
Elliot and Hero can't help looking over at Vic, who is just sitting there like a lump. There is something about his extremely blasé attitude that inspires fear.
Do it, or I'll fucking kill you,
Fisheye says, finally driving the point home. Elliot and Hero, bobbing awkwardly on the unsteady floor of the raft, peel off their survival suits and step out of them. Then they pull off the rest of their clothes, exposing smooth bare skin to the air for the first time in a few days. The trawler comes right alongside of them, no more than 20 away, and cuts its engines. They are nicely equipped, half a dozen Zodiacs with new outboards, an Exocet-type missile, two radars, and a 50-caliber machine gun at each end of the boat, currently unmanned. A couple of speedboats are being towed behind the trawler like dinghies, and each of these also has a heavy machine gun. And there is also a 36-foot motor yacht following them under its own power. There are a couple of dozen guys in Bruce Lee's pirate band, and they are now lined up along the trawler's railing, grinning, whistling, howling like wolves, and waving unrolled Trojans in the air.
Don't worry, man. I'm not gonna let him fuck you, Fisheye says, grinning.
What you gonna do? Elliot says. Hand them a papal encyclical?
I'm sure they'll listen to reason, Fisheye says.
These guys aren't scared of the Mafia, if that's what you have in mind, Elliot says.
That's just because they don't know us very well.
Finally, the leader comes out, Bruce Lee himself, a 40-ish guy in a Kevlar vest, an ammo vest stretched over that, a diagonal bandolier, samurai sword. Hero would love to take him on, nunchucks and his colors, the patchwork of human skips. He flashes them a nice grin, has a look at Hero and Elliot, gives highly suggestive thrusting thumbs-up gesture, and then struts up and down the length of the boat one time, swapping high fives with his merry men. Every so often, he picks out one of the pirates at random and gestures the man's Trojan. The pirate puts his condom to his lips and inflates to a slippery ribbed balloon. Then Bruce Lee inspects it, making sure there are no leaks. Obviously, the man runs a tight ship. Hero can't help staring at the scalps on Bruce Lee's back. The pirates note his interest and mug for him, pointing to the scalps, nodding, looking back at him with wide, mocking eyes. The colors look much too uniform. No change in the red from one to the next. Hero concludes that Bruce Lee, contrary to his reputation, must have just gone out and gotten scalp any old color, bleached them, and dyed them. What a wimp. Finally, Bruce Lee works his way back to Midge and flashes them another big grin. He has a great, dazzling grin, and he knows it. Maybe it's those one-carat diamonds, crazy glued to his front teeth.
Jamming boat, he says. Maybe me swap, huh?
Everyone on the life raft, except for Vic, just smiles a brittle smile.
Where you going? Key West?
Bruce Lee examines Hero and Elliot for a while, rotates his index finger to indicate that they should spin around and display their business ends. They do.
¿Cuánto?
Bruce Lee says. And all the pirates get uproarious, most of all Bruce Lee. Hero can feel his anal sphincter contracting to the size of a pore.
He's asking how much we cost, Elliot says. It's a joke, see? Because they know they can come over and have our asses for free.
Oh, hilarious, Fisheye says.
While Hero and Elliot literally freeze their asses, he's still snuggled up under the canopy. That bastard.
Poon missile, like?
Bruce Lee says, pointing to one of the anti-ship missiles on the deck.
Bugs? Motorolas? Poon missile's a harpoon anti-ship missile, real expensive, Elliot says. A bug is a microchip. Motorola would be one brand, like Ford or Chevy. Bruce Lee deals in a lot of electronics, you know, typical Asian pirate dude.
He'd give us a harpoon missile for you guys, Fisheye says.
No, he's being sarcastic, shithead, Elliot says.
Tell him we want a boat with an outboard motor, Fisheye says.
Want one Zoe, one kicker, fill her up, Elliot says.
Suddenly Bruce Lee gets real serious and actually considers it.
Scope claws, chum san, gage and gag. He'll consider if they can come and check out the merchandise first, Elliot says. They want to check out how tight we are, and whether we are capable of suppressing our gag reflex. These are all terms from the raft brothel industry.
Homeboy scope like 12 to me.
Us homeboys look like we have 12-gauge assholes, Elliot says, i.e., that we are all stretched out and worthless.
Fisheye speaks up on his own.
No, 4-10s, totally.
The entire deck of the pirate ship titters with excitement.
No way, Bruce Lee says.
These hombres, Fisheye says, still got cherries up in there.
The whole deck erupts in rude screaming laughter. One of the pirates scrambles up to balance on the railing, gyrates one fist in the air, and hollers,
Bakanazu malaiga no malaria manopono ababsu.
By that point, all the other pirates have stopped laughing, gotten serious looks on their faces, and joined in, bellowing their own private streams of babble, rattling the air with a profound hoarse ululation. Hero's feet go out from under him as the raft moves suddenly. He can see Elliot fall down next to him. He looks up at Bruce Lee's ship and flinches involuntarily as he sees what looks like a dark wave cresting over the rail, washing over the row of standing pirates, starting at the stern of the trawler and working its way forward. But this is just some kind of optical illusion. It is not really a wave at all. Suddenly, they are 50 feet away from the trawler, not 20 feet. As the laughter on the railing dies away, Hero hears a new sound, a low whirring noise from the direction of Fisheye, and from the atmosphere around them, a tearing, hissing noise like the sound just before a thunderbolt strikes, like the sound of sheet being ripped in half. Looking back at Bruce Lee's trawler, he sees that the dark wave-like phenomenon was a wave of blood, as though someone hosed down the deck with a giant severed aorta. But it didn't come from outside. It erupted from the pirates' bodies, one time, moving from the stern to the bow. The deck of Bruce Lee's ship is now utterly quiet and motionless, except for blood and gelatinized internal organs sliding down the rusted steel and plopping softly into the water. Fisheye is up on his knees now and has torn away the canopy and space blanket that have covered him until this point. In one hand, he is holding a long device, a couple of inches in diameter, which is the source of the whirring noise. It is a circular bundle of parallel tubes, about pencil-sized and a couple of feet long, like a miniaturized Gatling gun. It whirs around so quickly that the individual tubes are difficult to make out. When it is operating, it is in fact ghostly and transparent because of this rapid movement, a glittering, translucent cloud jutting out of Fisheye's arm. The device is attached to a wrist-thick bundle of black tubes and cables that snake down into the large suitcase, which lies open on the bottom of the raft. The suitcase has a bill-color monitor screen with graphics giving information of the status of this weapon system, how much ammo is left, the status of various subsystems. Hero just gets a quick glimpse at it before all of the ammunition on board Bruce Lee's ship begins to explode.
See, I told you they'd listen to reason, Fisheye says,
shooting down the whirling gun. Now Hero sees a nameplate tacked onto the control panel. Reason. Version 1.0B7. Gatling type, 3mm hypervelocity railgun system. Ing Security Industries, Inc. Pre-release version, not for field use. Do not test in a populated area. Ultima ratio regum.
Fucking recoil pushed us halfway to China,
Fisheye says appreciatively.
Did you do that? What just happened?
Elliot says.
I did it.
With reason.
See, it fires these teeny little metal splinters. They go real fast. More energy than a rifle bullet. Depleted uranium.
The spinning barrels have now slowed almost to a stop. It looks like there are about 24 of them.
I thought you hated machine guns, Hero says.
I hate this fucking raft even more. Let's go get ourselves something that goes, you know? Something with a motor on it.
Because of the fires and small explosions going off on Bruce Lee's pirate ship, it takes them a minute to realize that several people are still alive there, still shooting at them. When Fisheye becomes aware of this, he pulls the trigger again. The barrels whirr themselves up into a transparent cylinder, and the tearing, hissing noise begins again. As he waves the gun back and forth, hosing the target down with a hypersonic shower of depleted uranium, Bruce Lee's entire ship seems to sparkle and glitter, as though Tinkerbell was flying back and forth from stem to stern, sprinkling nuclear fairy dust over it. Bruce Lee's smaller yacht makes the mistake of coming around to see what's going on. Fishhead turns toward it for a moment, and its high protruding bridge slides off into the water. Major structural elements of the trawler are losing their integrity. Enormous popping and wrenching noises are coming from inside as big pieces of Swiss-cheesed metal give way, and the superstructure is slowly collapsing down into the hull like a botched souffle. When Fisheye notices this, he ceases fire.
"Cut it out, boss," Vic says.
"I'm melting," Fisheye crows.
"We could have used that trawler, asshole,"
Elliot says, vindictively yanking his pants back on.
"I didn't mean to blow it all up. I guess the little bullets just go through everything."
"Sharp thinking, Fisheye," Hero says.
"Well, I'm sorry I took a little action to save our asses. Come on, let's go get one of them little boats before they all burn."
They paddle in the direction of the decapitated yacht. By the time they reach it, Bruce Lee's trawler is just a listing, empty steel hull with flames and smoke pouring out of it, spiced by the occasional explosion. The remaining portion of the yacht has many, many tiny little holes in it and glitters with exploded fragments of fiberglass. A million tiny little glass fibers about a millimeter long. The skipper and a crew member, or rather the stew that they turned into when the bridge was hit by reason, slid off into the water along with the rest of the debris, leaving behind no evidence of their having been there, except for a pair of long parallel streaks trailing off into the water. But there is a Filipino boy down in the galley so low, unhurt and only dimly aware of what happened. A number of electrical cables have been sawn in half. Elliot digs up a toolbox from below decks and spends the next 12 hours patching things together to the point where the engine can be started and the yacht can be steered. Hero, who has a rudimentary knowledge of electrical stuff, acts as gopher and limp-dicked advisor.
"Did you hear the way the pirates were talking before Fisheye opened up on them?"
Hero asks Elliot while they are working.
"You mean in Pigeon?"
"No, at the very end. The babbling."
"Yeah, that's a raft thing."
"It is?"
"Yeah. One guy will start in, the rest will follow. I think it's just a fad."
"But it's common on the raft."
"Yeah. They all speak different languages, you know? All those different ethnic groups. It's like the fucking Tower of Babel. I think when they make that sound, when they babble at each other, they're just imitating what all the other groups sound like."
The Filipino kid starts making them some food. Vic and Fisheye sit down in the main cabin below decks, eating, going through Chinese magazines, looking at pictures of Asian chicks, and occasionally looking at nautical charts. When Elliot gets the electrical system back up and running, Hero plugs his personal computer in to recharge its batteries. By the time the yacht is up and running again, it's dark. To the southwest, a fluctuating column of light is playing back and forth against the low, overhanging cloud layer.
"Is that the raft over there?"
Fisheye says, pointing to the light as all hands converge on Elliot's makeshift control center.
"It is," Elliot says.
"They light it up at night so that the fishing boats can find their way back to it."
"How far away do you think it is?"
Fisheye says. Elliot shrugs.
20 miles.
"And how far to land?"
"I have no idea."
Bruce Lee's skipper probably knew, but he's been pureed along with everyone else.
You're right, Fisheye says. I should have set it on whip or chop.
The raft usually stays at least 100 miles offshore, Hero says, to reduce the danger of snags.
How are we doing on gas?
I dipped the tank, Elliot says, and it looks like we're not doing so well, to tell you the truth.
What does that mean, not doing so well?
It's not always easy to read the level when you're out to sea, Elliot says. And I don't know how efficient these engines are. But if we're really 80 or 100 miles offshore, we might not make it.
So we go to the raft, Fisheye says. We go to the raft and persuade someone it's in his best interests to give us some fuel. Then back to the mainland.
No one really believes it's going to happen this way, least of all, Fisheye.
And, he continues, while we're there, on the raft, after we get the fuel and before we go home, some other stuff might happen too, you know. Life's unpredictable.
If you have something in mind, why don't you just spit it out, Hero says.
Okay, policy decision. The hostage tactic failed. So we go for an extraction.
Extraction of what?
Of YT.
I go along with that, Hero says. But I have another person I want to extract also, as long as we're extracting.
Who?
Juanita. Come on. You said yourself she was a nice girl.
If she's on the raft, maybe she's not so nice, Fisheye says.
I want to extract her anyway. We're all in this together, right? We're all part of Lagos's gang.
Bruce Lee has some people there, Elliot says.
Correction. Had.
But what I'm saying is, they're going to be pissed.
You think they're going to be pissed? I think they're going to be scared shitless, Fisheye says.
Now drive the boat, Elliot. Come on. I'm sick of all this fucking water.